history as one of the best years for the church. Now that, if for most people they would think that is just off the wall, right? This could be one of the best years for the church. But you know, it's caused the church, right, to become a little bit more creative in how they get the message out. And thank God for this church that has remained open. Hallelujah. You know, in all the churches that I've found that have remained open, that God has continued to bless them and multiply them. And I can say for me personally, and I mean, we're talking about a traveling ministry where we had 4 to 5 months of meetings that were completely shut down. So that's like half of our whole year. But you know, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that God has sustained us. God has been faithful to us. And I believe there's many people here this morning that you can testify of the same. God has sustained you. Come on now. God has been faithful to you. And in fact, not only that, that God has actually expanded our ministry and caused new doors to open up. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's give Him praise this morning. And so, you know, I'm reminded in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, it says, it talks about that there's coming a time where God will shake everything that can be shaken. And I remember I used to read that scripture, and I think, how in the world could, like, everything be shaken until this year? Now we know, right? 2020, we've seen some shaking all over the world. But guess what? We are part of an unshakable kingdom. Praise the Lord. An unshakable kingdom. And so, yeah. Come on, help me. And so, let's look here in Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bible ready, and also to Isaiah chapter 2. In Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 13, it says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, 'Occupy until I come.'" Everybody say, "Occupy until I come." You know, when Jesus was raised up and went to heaven, he gave us a job to do, didn't he? And we are here on this earth to occupy until Jesus returns. And the word occupy, it means to take up, to hold a place or a position. The idea of an occupying army is an army that occupies and controls the territory of a conquered enemy. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about occupying and what the church's role in that going into this new decade. How many believe this is a decade like no other decade? This new decade that we've stepped into will be a decade of difference. It will be a decade like we have never seen before. I believe that what God is about to do is going to be so major, so big, so el bigo. That we are in for some tsunamis, spiritual tsunamis, the likes of which the world has never seen before. And I believe that the best days are ahead. Have me all in agreement with that this morning, that the best days are ahead. Everybody say, the best days are ahead. Amen. Amen. And now we see in Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 2, Isaiah writes, "Now it shall come to pass in the last days," everybody say, "the last days," "that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established," everybody say, "established," "on the top of the mountains." How many are familiar with the seven mountains? That principle, that concept, the different spheres of influence, whether it's government or whether it's media, arts and entertainment, you know, the church, the family, you know, business, commerce. You know, people refer to that as the seven mountains of influence, all right? Well, this verse says that in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, in other words, God's presence, shall be established on top of all the mountains. You know what that tells me? That God's presence will be established on top of the media. God's presence shall be established on top of the government. God's presence shall be established on top of the education, all the schools in the universities. Hallelujah. God's presence will be established upon every sphere of influence, every mountain, that the presence of God, the kingdom of God, shall be established upon every single sphere of influence. I believe that's the decade that we've entered. I believe we're going to see the greatest things that we've ever seen before. You know, I was recently, I was studying the word ecclesia. You ever heard of the word ecclesia? That's the Greek word for church. All right. We typically, when we look at the word ecclesia, it means an assembly or ones that were called out. An ecclesia, okay? But the way that it was used in Jesus' time was different. It was referring to a group of people, an assembly, a group of called out ones who are called out to vote. Yeah. So in Jesus' day, it was meant to be a group of people who are called out to vote. Isn't that interesting? And he was referring to a group of people who would stand up and stand out. Come on. Who would be called out to vote, and they would determine what was right and what was wrong in society. So when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, he was talking about a group of people, an assembly of people who would come out of their society and they would stand up and they would vote for what was right and what was wrong, and that they would be the church. They would be the true ecclesia. Come on. All right, and they would determine what was right and what was wrong. In other words, they would stand up and say, you know what? What is wrong is abortion. What is right is life. What is wrong is socialism. And right, what is right is a constitutional republic, you know? You know, what is wrong is this lawlessness. And what is right is law enforcement. Have y'all know what I'm saying? And I tell you, if I have seen anything that is beginning to emerge right now, the church, the true ecclesia, is coming forth. It's emerging in the earth. And guess what? We're only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So if you thought that you were praying a lot now, you're going to be praying even more. Because there's more battles to win. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the church is emerging. And we're going to see the church take a more prominent role, more prominent position in the days ahead. Have me all in agreement with that this morning. You know, about 5 years ago, I was at a conference, and I was sitting on the back row of this conference, and I don't even know. This guy was speaking. There's thousands of people there. I can't even remember what he was sharing about. But as I was sitting on this back row, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came over me. And I found myself sitting in that seat and I began to weep. I began to cry. And I started looking around and I'm like, well, nobody else is acting this way. And as I sat there, more and more things started welling up inside of me, and I found myself weeping. I found myself crying. And I was like, "Holy Lord, what is this? I know it's you, but you know, what is this? What's going on here?" So I remember I dismissed myself from that conference, and I went back to my hotel room, and I just went before the Lord. I got on my knees. I said, "Lord, what is it?" And I began to go through scriptures and different things. And the Lord said to me, he says, "I have a new assignment for you." And you know, up until that time, we had been traveling. We had been going into Central America, South America, India, Africa, Eastern Europe, I mean, many, many nations. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to give me a tremendous burden for Muslims to go into the Muslim world. And so I remember I came home and I told my wife, I said, "Guess what, honey? You know, God has given us a new assignment." And she said, okay, well, what is it? I said, well, we're supposed to go into the Muslim world and reach the Muslims. And she's like, okay. So how does one do that? I said, well, I'm sure we don't just get on a plane and show up. But God will get us there. If God has called us to do it, God will get us there. So we begin to pray, we begin to sow, we begin to just believe God. And then about 6 months later, all of a sudden the doors begin to fly open. And found myself in Turkey and Jordan and into Saudi Arabia. And so as we begin to make some trips into the Middle East, and we begin to see this overwhelming openness and awareness from the Muslims. And we go into places and they would tell us their stories, how they've seen visitations of Jesus. You know, you'd go into a village and everyone in the village has had a visitation with Jesus. And people would share their stories. I mean, we're talking about tens and tens of thousands of Muslims that have visitations of Jesus. I mean, it was said that 10,000 to 16,000 ISIS fighters had visitations with Jesus. All right, and it completely disrupted all the ranks. All right. And then as we begin to travel, we begin to look at the mosque. In Turkey, the mosques were shutting down. All right. People were no longer interested in going to the mosque. And so people were saying, yeah, we've been under Islam long enough that we, if this is who Allah is, we want nothing to do with Allah. We've seen the abuse, the violence, the hatred, and we don't want anything more to do with this. And so there's been a tremendous openness. You could walk the streets in Turkey and just anyone over 18, you could come up to them and evangelize and just tell them about Jesus. And within just a few minutes, they would drop their shopping bags and they said, yes, we want to receive Jesus. I mean, as I began to a look at what's happening, I was saying, wow, this is such a new day. It's such a new season, okay? And more doors begin to open, okay? And then in January, we went with a team over to Egypt, and we were invited by the president, President Sisi. And so President Sisi had invited us to come. He said this will be the first ever government-sanctioned evangelistic outreaches. The government will actually sanction this. The government will actually cover this, right? Because we want Christianity in our nation, right? And so a group of us went over, and we were at different meetings that were being held. And the first meeting, we were leaving the hotel, and as we went outside the hotel, we had a whole entourage of military, Secret Service vehicles, a whole convoy of vehicles set aside to keep us protected for 8 days. And so that convoy of Secret Service and military escorted us, all right, so we could go into different venues, different places in order to preach the gospel. And so the first venue that we came into, it was a building probably about this size, and the building filled up, and there was an overflow. And shortly before the service was getting ready to start, there were 21 Secret Service agents all of a sudden ushered in and took all the corners of the building and were getting set in position, all right? And we're like, what in the world is going on here? And then in walked in the ambassador to Saudi Arabia, the ambassador to Libya, the ambassador to Kuwait, the ambassador to Qatar, the ambassador to Yemen, all right? And then several other ambassadors walked in the room and were like, oh my goodness. Why did they come? Why did they come? President Sisi had told us before, he said, all the eyes of the Muslim world will be upon your meetings. If the meetings go well, then the doors will fly open. If the meetings don't go so well, then the doors will shut tight. He had invited those leaders. And those leaders came from those countries to see what a Christian service would look like in a Muslim nation. And I'm here to tell you that just before the service had even ended, the Saudi Arabia ambassador, he had already gotten on his cell phone, talked to the leader in Saudi Arabia, and he came running over to us and he said, "You have an open door to Saudi Arabia. We want Christianity into Saudi Arabia." And then the Libyan ambassador had talked on his cell phone, and he came over and he said, "We want you to come to Libya. You have an open door to Libya." Okay. And then other leaders began to share, "Hey, you can come to our country. We welcome you, and we will protect you. But we want Christianity in our Muslim nation." If that isn't evidence this morning that God is doing a new thing, we're in a new season. We're in a new decade like we've never seen before. All right? And so all of a sudden, all these doors begin to open, okay? And then all of a sudden, then there was COVID. But those doors are still open today. And so we got home. We were just so overwhelmed with the services and what God did in Egypt. And then I got this phone call from this guy from Egypt who I'd never met before. And he said, "I'm coming to Washington, D.C. Can you meet with me?" And so I said, he left a message. And so I called him back and I spoke to his secretary. And she said, he's coming to Washington, D.C. He wants to meet with you. I'll give you his resume, his itinerary. So she sent it to me. And I was looking over his resume and he had just stepped down as a member of the Egyptian parliament. And so now we've kept in touch. And actually, he was just reelected to the parliament just a few weeks ago. So I was looking over his itinerary, and he was scheduled to meet with senators and ambassadors and different things. And as I was looking over the itinerary, the Holy Spirit prompted me. He said, "You need to be in this one meeting. You need to be in this one government meeting." And I said, "But I don't have an invitation." And he said, "Well, you call his secretary and say, I'll meet him at this meeting if I can be his guest." So I called her, and she said, "Yeah, I don't think there would be a problem." So I was in this meeting concerning international religious freedom. And that was the beginning of what God began to do. See, what I'm doing now is not even what I was doing in January, hardly. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is that it may look like this year has been shut down. But I can tell you that God has never shut down. And that God is putting the pieces together. God is positioning people like myself, as well as dozens of other people, putting them in key positions to be influencers for the kingdom. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, if he did it for me, he will also do it for you. Okay? And so that opened the entire door where I began to have access into what is happening in our nation. What is happening behind the scenes? What is in the works? How many of y'all like to know what's in the works? Okay. Well, in June of this past year, President Trump signed an executive order making religious freedom part of a mandate of our foreign policy. So the U.S. foreign policy, part of our mandate will be the spread of religious freedom, or for the Muslim world, it means the spread of Christianity. Now, have you ever heard of a nation ever in history that part of their foreign policy is Mark 16? Matthew 28? Bringing the gospel into all the nations, okay? For the atheist world, it means bringing Christianity. For the Muslim world, it means bringing Christianity, okay? All right? And so So he's made a mandate, part of our foreign policy will be the spread of religious freedom, the spread of Christianity into nations that have never had Christianity. I don't know if you realize how much of a game changer that is going to be. As Jesus said, he said, "This gospel shall be preached as a witness in all the nations." And we are literally watching the Islamic curtain fall. Amen. The Muslim world is coming to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Part of the executive order that was signed also means that every department of our government, every agency of our government, will also be held accountable on how they helped spread religious freedom or Christianity. That means the Commerce Department will have to show at the end of the year how, what did they do to help spread Christianity. The Education Department, did they allow more prayer in school? Come on now. How about the Treasury Department? Did they help more faith-based organizations? See, each department, every agency of government, see, we're not going to just be called one nation under God. We're actually going to be one nation under God. Every department, every agency will be under God. Can we give a big shout out this morning to Jesus? Hallelujah. Not only that, but I was recently asked to be to co-write this business plan for the United States and Egypt, and then into Saudi Arabia as well. Many of you have heard how our president brokered this plan between Israel and Bahrain and Sudan and UAE. All right, and then as soon as he did that, then seven other Islamic nations said, "Well, what about us? I mean, what about us?" And he's like, "Well, we'll get to you, you know, but everything takes a little time." And so the other things that are in the works right now that the president and this administration has been working on is their alliances, their agreements that are coming forth, okay? Different teams of people are working on different agreements, all right? And this agreement will be this: we will promise you economic prosperity. In other words, the United States will promise your nation economic prosperity. You'll have access to business schools, entrepreneur schools, Silicon Valley. There'll be business contracts, et cetera, to cause your nation to prosper economically. In exchange for that, you have to open your doors wide to Christianity and to religious freedom. Hallelujah. I say that's a pretty good deal. How about you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. And so those are some of the things that are in the works, okay? All right. Behind the scenes, all right? And so we just need a few more months or maybe four more years. Yeah. Yeah. And so I just was in Egypt a few weeks ago, and the business leaders, the government leaders I was meeting with, I was presenting this whole case and everything, and they were like all for it. They said, "Listen, we're all for it. We're all in it. When can we sign up? When can we be a part of this thing?" And they said, "Listen, there's a whole new consciousness in the Middle East now. There's a whole new consciousness in the Middle East." They said, we realize we can't trust China because China will do us harm. China will take us over. We can't trust Russia because Russia will do us harm. Russia will take us over. And even though we were raised to hate America, we realize America will never take us over. And America will always keep its word. And if we're going to prosper in the future, we need America's help to prosper. And we're willing to work with America. We're willing to help spread Christianity in our Muslim nation. Come on, can we give it up for Jesus this morning? Praise the Lord. Everybody say it's a new day. It's a new day. Everybody say it's a new day. Turn to the person next to you and say, "It's a new day." Say, "Are you ready for what's about to come?" Yeah, it's so exciting, okay? All right? So what I have witnessed over the last several months, okay. I had a friend of mine who was asked to be the ambassador to a certain country. And it got down to him and this other person. He was on the phone with President Trump. President Trump said, "I want you to be the ambassador to this nation." And so, you know, he's been a missionary for many years. And he said, "You know, I've been praying about, but you know what? I don't think it's my time right now." He said, "But this other guy that's also in, that you're looking at, it's come down to the two of us. I know this guy. I know him personally. He's a really, really strong Christian. He would do just as good a job as I would do." And the president said to him, he said, "Well, the reason why it got down to the two of you is because I want a strong Christian to be part of every position that I appoint. Hallelujah. We have personal friends of ours that their daughter got a phone call from the White House. This was a couple months ago. And the White House says to her, now she's about 23 years of age, would you come work in the White House? She's like, what? Yeah, can you come work in the White House? What are you talking about? Like, we want you to come work in the White House. She said, well, how did you get my name? How did you get my number? And they said, well, President Trump said, call Liberty University and find the best students at Liberty. And so your name came to the top because the president wants strong Christian leaders to be in the White House, to be a part of his administration. Okay? And so your name came to the top. All right? So how about it? Do you want to, you want to work in the White House? Okay? All right? Now see, that wasn't on her radar screen. And what I'm sharing with you this morning, this was not on my radar screen. I wasn't thinking these things in January, okay? You know, and when COVID hit, I was thinking, oh, what are we going to do? You know, we have a traveling ministry. Everything is shut down, you know, and yet God has never shut down. God was moving all the time, all right? God was working. I had another friend of mine. I mean, I could give you tell you stories all day. Y'all like these stories, okay? You know, I had a friend of mine for 17 years. You know, he's been a pastor, and every time he would be in this minister's meeting, someone would, you know, a minister would call him out and have a prophetic word for him, and they'd say, you know, I see you running for political office, and he'd go, okay, you know, like, but so I was hearing that for 17 years, and there was even a time that he tried to pry that door open, and the door was shut. And so he was in this community meeting back in February, all right, with like a school board and community association. And he happened to sit at this table with this guy and across from him. And this guy happened to be a billionaire in Maryland. I think the only billionaire, I believe, okay, sitting across the table from him, okay. And the guy keeps looking at him and he goes, you know, there's something about you. Have you ever thought about running for political office? He says, yeah, for like 17 years. And he said, well, let me ask you a few questions. What do you believe about this? What do you think about this? You know, starts seeing where he, you know, what he believes and different things. And so after about 30 minutes of this, the guy says to me, listen, you know, I like you. I like what you stand for, and I like you. Something about you. And he said, you know how much it's going to take for you to run for political office? And he says, well, I've done my homework. I mean, I think it's going to cost $50 million. He said, oh, no. It's not going to cost $50 million. To unseat those people, those senators who have been there for a long time, it's going to take $150 million. So my friend said, well, what's the difference? So the billionaire stood up. He said, stand up. And he reached out his hand. He said, listen, I like you, and when you need your $150 million, I'll get it to you. How many of you know that will change your day? That will take you from an idea, a desire, a prophetic word that you had for 17 years that you've been carrying around and you had tried to pry the door open, so all of a sudden there's a divine appointment and you're standing before a billionaire and the guy reached out just and said, I want to shake your hand because I'm about to give you $150 million so you can run and fulfill the vision that God has put on your life. I know of a sheriff that, well, he was not a sheriff, but he wasn't a sheriff. He's still not a sheriff, but he's soon to be a sheriff. He had retired from law enforcement. He was burnt out. He was just enjoying his life as a couch potato. And over the summer, he was watching the news, the looting, the riots in the streets. And while he's watching the news, God speaks to him and says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He said, "Lord, you know what I'm doing. I'm just enjoying my retirement." Lord says, "I didn't call you to retire." He said, "What are you going to do about it?" Pointing to the TV. "What are you going to do about it?" Lord says, I've called you to occupy. I've called you to do something about it. And he said, "I've called you to be the next sheriff for this county." So you know what that man did? He got off that couch. He went into his bedroom in his closet. He started putting on his cowboy boots. All right, got out his cowboy belt, put it on, got his cowboy hat, and he said, "Okay, there's a new sheriff in town." Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I met a guy in Washington, D.C. a few months ago, and he was inviting me to his church. Now, see, there's so much happening behind the scenes. I tell you what, there's so many Bible studies, so many prayer things going on in Washington, D.C., covering our nation. How many of y'all been praying for our nation? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this guy says, "Here," he gave me his business card, "you know, here, come to my church sometime." I said, "Okay." He said, "Guess where my church meets?" I said, "I mean, I don't live in D.C. I don't know anything about D.C. I'm just trying to follow the streets, okay, and don't get lost, all right?" He said, no, I want you to guess. Guess where my church meets?" I'm like, "I don't know. I mean, no," he said, I want you to guess, okay? I'm like, "I don't know, the Lincoln Memorial, okay? I mean, I have no clue. I don't know Washington, D.C. He said, "We meet, are you ready? We meet in Nancy Pelosi's office." I said, "Dear Jesus." I said, "You know what? That woman doesn't have a chance to have a church that meets in her office." Yeah, some of y'all be thinking about that for the rest of the day. You're not going to hear the rest of this message, are you? So what am I saying this morning? Is that the church is rising up. God wants to use every single person for his kingdom. And you are going to be surprised. Many of you will be surprised where you will find yourself. Because this is a brand new season. And it's the way the Lord said it to me. He said, going into this new decade, it's going to be a decade like no other decade. So what you have done up until now, I mean, yeah, it's been preparation, but it's almost like meaningless compared to what you're getting ready to step into. In other words, you can't compare yourself, what you did in the past, to what you're going to be doing in the future. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, I look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, for many years, he struggled trying to find out his calling, his purpose, his plan. You know, he thought he was called to the Gentiles. I mean, excuse me, called to the Jews because he was raised Jewish and he had a heart for the Jews. And each time that he would go into a certain city, he would go straight into the synagogue. Why? Because he wanted to reach the Jews. But for many, many years, all of a sudden, you know, in every attempt to reach the Jews, they would throw him out of town or they would leave him, stone him and leave him for dead. And it wasn't until he came to Athens and he went on to Corinth that all of a sudden he began to find out what he was supposed to do. And that's where we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where he says, When I came to you, I didn't come to you with human wisdom or human ability, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so what happened was when Paul came to Corinth, he found his calling. He found his place. He found his purpose. And when he did, there was a display. There was a demonstration of the Spirit. There was a demonstration of God's power. All of a sudden, the gifts that God had given him, all of a sudden began to work and operate. The grace of God that was on his life all of a sudden began to manifest. So when Paul found himself in the right place at the right time, all of a sudden everything came together. And what I'm saying to each one of you this morning is that God has a place. God has a plan. God has a destiny. God has a purpose. I bet if I asked this question this morning, is there anybody here that you feel like you're supposed to spend the rest of your life just sitting on a shelf? I bet every single one of you would say, no way. No way. God has put each one of us into the kingdom for such a time as this. And boy, God has saved the best for last. Hallelujah. And so my question for each one of you this morning is, do you believe that there's more for you to do? Do you believe that God has, you know, I call God, he's Jehovah Sneaky. He's Jehovah Sneaky. All right? So in other words, God has surprises. You're not going to find Jehovah Sneaky in the Bible, okay? But I know it got, somewhere it's got to be, all right, that he's Jehovah Sneaky. In other words, he has things around the corner. He has surprises, okay? He has new things, all right? His mercies are new every morning. Come on, church. He's got some new things ahead, all right? And so what I find is this, is that God's looking for people who will say, you know what? I want to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And I tell you what, if that's your heart, if that's your willingness, I tell you what, God will begin to move you and shift you and put you in places like you have never, ever dreamed before. I remember several years ago, there was a guy by the name of Bob Weiner. Bob Weiner started Maranatha Ministries, part of the Jesus movement among college campuses. One day the Lord spoke to him and said, Bob, I want you to write a new Russian constitution. What? I want you to write a new constitution for Russia. Well, Bob was all about obedience to the Lord. So he told his staff, okay, let's start working on a new Russian constitution. In his head, he's like, well, I've never been to Russia. I mean, I don't have any desire to go to Russia. But the Lord said, I'm supposed to write a new Russian constitution. So he said to the Lord, well, what is this all about? He says, hey, don't worry about it. I'll work it all out. So he and his staff wrote a new Russian constitution. Okay? All right? And he carried that Russian constitution in his briefcase for years. Well, one time he's in a hotel in Vienna, Austria. And he hears all this music and these trumpet players and he looks out his window and it's like this parade is coming through town. So he ran down the steps to the lobby and he said, what is going on here? What is going on here? And they said, oh, well, Boris Yeltsin is in town. So he ran up the steps and got his Russian constitution and he ran down the steps again and he stood in the lobby. And as he's standing there, all of a sudden the doors to the hotel open up and in walk in all these Secret Service agents and they line the entry of the hotel and he's just standing there. And in walked in Boris Yeltsin. And Boris Yeltsin walks in and he stops and he's looking around. And then he heads over to Bob Weiner and he said, sir, you have something for me? He said, yes, I do, sir. And it was said like 90% of everything that they had written, their staff had written, that the Russia, they adopted that as part of their new Russian constitution. There's a great book called Love Does by Bob Goff. He and his family wrote, they decided to write letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters to world leaders just because they wanted to tell them that they're praying for them, they care for them, that love does something. Okay? See, we can all do something, right? Yeah. We're all to be kingdom influencers. So he and his wife and their kids, they simply write letters to every world leader that they can find. Did you know that the majority of all the world leaders wrote them back? And they invited them. Sheikhs and kings and presidents invited them to their palaces. And then, not only that, they had such a fun time because it wasn't a certain agenda involved. This family just wanted to love on these kings and these leaders, just show them the love of God, okay? And these kings and these leaders were so touched, okay, that they, in turn, called them up and said, hey, can we come to Texas and stay in your house? Can we come on a vacation with you guys? All right? And so this book is so fascinating how love reaches out. Love does. Okay? I mean, we are the hands of Jesus. We are the heart of Jesus. We are the body of Jesus. Right? Okay? In the earth. All right? You know, I'm reminded of three individuals in the Bible as we close this morning. You know, there was Daniel. Daniel was known as a person that prayed, the one that was in the lion's den. Then there was Joseph, right? Remember Joseph. And Joseph was sold as a slave. Joseph became second in command, and God did amazing work in his life. And, you know, and you look at how the Bible describes Joseph, describes Daniel, that they were handsome. They were handsome. They were real handsome. You know, sometimes people can get in certain positions, in anointed positions, because of their looks, their handsomeness, okay? And God can use those people with the gifts and the things that God has called them to do. But then I'm reminded of this other guy by the name of Nehemiah. What was Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer, okay? But what was he? He was so faithful. He had to be trusted, trusted, trusted to the nth degree. Because he was the last person between the public and the king. So he had to be the cupbearer. He had to taste the wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned. He was willing to take a bullet. He was, or a poison, okay? He was willing. He was so faithful to the king, okay? And this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, some of you have been so faithful, and God's getting ready to promote you. And you may never even imagine today what you're going to be doing tomorrow. Because God always rewards faithfulness. And it may look like you're in obscurity, like you're in a place where maybe you're just doing something, you know, because you have a heart to do it, and maybe you don't get a whole lot of people thanking you or gratitude. But see, God will take you from where you are, and he will move you to where he wants you to be. How many of y'all hearing this morning? Okay? Because God always rewards faithfulness. All right? And so this morning, there's so much more I could share on what's behind the scenes. Right? And I'll just share one more, and that is this. A few months ago, I was on a Zoom call with Secretary Pompeo, with several hundred pastors. And on the Zoom call, he began to share his heart, and he said this. He said, there's been something that's really been bothering me, and it's been human rights abuses. That has always bothered me since I was a soldier, 18 years of age, going into different nations, different countries, seeing how human rights issues has been, you know, just people have people have been abused and nations have abused in the whole human rights issue. He said, but I was in my prayer closet recently and Jesus showed up. Now, this is a government Zoom meeting with pastors. And he said, the presence of God filled that place. And he said, God gave me the plan. God gave me the plan to fix this whole thing. And when I heard that, I said, wow, our prayers are working. Our prayers are working. Our prayers are working. How many of y'all are praying for leaders and for those who are in authority? Hallelujah. You see, when our leaders start getting God's plans, our cities today, what they look like today, will not be what they look like tomorrow. When we were with President Sisi, he said, I've been having dreams and visions with Jesus. Jesus has showed me tens of thousands of Muslim converted Christians, tens of thousands of Christians marching my streets, shouting, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when we start praying and we continue to pray, all right, it opens up a realm where all of a sudden God can download His agendas, His plans, His purposes, all right? And so my encouragement to each and every one of you this morning is pray, keep praying, keep praying, because our prayers are working for our leaders. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord this morning that our prayers are working, that God is working. Come on, everybody, just lift up your hands if you would. Let's just thank the Lord this morning that our prayers are working, that God is working, that God is coming into our nation. Our nation is being reborn. Our nation is turning around. Our nation, that God has amazing things in store for our nation, that the best days are ahead. Father, we come before you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the move of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for working in our leaders, giving them godly wisdom. Lord, giving them your plans, your agendas for what to do to help fix this nation, help turn this nation around in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our nation. We lift up our leaders to you. Lord, we declare this morning that Jesus is Lord over the United States of America, Lord. We thank you for exposing ungodliness and corruption and evil. Lord, we thank you for shedding just the light increasing on our nation, for righteousness increasing in our nation. And so, Lord, today we thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 One more thing this morning, and that is this. If you sense today that this is a new season, this is a new decade, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, none of us are getting any younger. But we'll be able to live as long as we need to live to fulfill our course in our destiny. So, one of the, God's benefits is he'll renew our youth like the eagles. Yeah. And so if you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. I don't want to miss this season. I don't want to be that couch potato. I don't want to sit back and watch God do things. I want to be a part. I want to be a participant of what God is doing. If that's you, if that's how you feel this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand on your feet. I tell people, if people only knew what was in the works. Wow. 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 I'm looking forward to 2021. How about you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. If you would, just lift up your hands. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray a prayer together. Say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe I'm in a new season. I'm on your timetable. I believe, Lord, this is a new decade. This will be a decade like no other decade. And I'm looking forward to everything that you have in this new decade. And Lord, today, I consecrate myself. I surrender to your plans, to your purposes, to whatever you have for my life. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my plans, but your plans. Be done in the earth. Be done in my life. Lord, put me in the position, into the places that you have for me. Lord, I want to be in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing, to be a kingdom influencer, to do more for your kingdom in my latter years than in all my former years. Lord, I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give a big shout this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of y'all meant that from your heart today?